It's an entrance song is what it is.
Yes.
You're making an entrance. My wedding party came out to the song.
Is that right?
We did, yes. And the Chicago Bulls in the 90s. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillian.
Lil Jordan.
Well,
baby Jordan.
He said Lil Jordan.
Let's talk about him. We'll get back to all your phone calls on Jalen Carter. Should the Eagles pay him right now? I say no. I'd make him earn this.
Pay that man.
Hugh's scared of a holdout and all that kind of stuff.
I'm scared of
living his life in fear.
It's amazing that this guy's spending everyone else's money. It's been when you think about Hugh Douglas this week, you have the Hugh's Clues disasters, right, 3 days in a row. Or at least 2 days. Monday and Tuesday was tough scene for Hugh's Clues. Then you've become the biggest Andy Dalton guy in the city.
I have not.
You greased the skids for a benching of the quarterback.
I know what I said. I mean, I can't help it if y'all hear it.
You just downplaying the implication of what you're saying.
No,
I'm not
downplaying any implications.
It's a big deal.
I see it. I see what could potentially happen. You got to hedge your bets in this because there's a lot that has been said.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that has been tried to be walked back as far as, you know, the quarterback being coachable or not.
Mm-hmm.
So they're putting themselves in positions where they're making sure they're CYAing. They're trying to cover their butt.
Yeah.
And the red rifle for them right now in this moment is that covering that butt covering.
Yeah, but isn't that every backup quarterback?
And Elliot pointed that out yesterday, but there's something to be said. Being in practices and knowing how reps are doled out, especially when you talk about 2 days. They only had 2 days of like organized team activity.
Of the mandatory stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
Only 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So those 2 days are precious. So the first thing that jumps out to me when you talk about reps and precious reps is the number of reps each individual is getting. It's been pretty similar. And Elliot pointed that out. That's the biggest thing. If you're the guy and you're the first teamer, you're getting the majority of the reps.
Of course, yes.
You get the majority of the reps. So that's what jumped out to me. Like, oh, they're trying to get both of them up to speed because, say, if one doesn't get it done, then they say, well, you know, the other one knows just as much.
Yeah.
As the starter.
Well,
that's what it is. That's the reality of it.
Mm, but that's where people react when you say. I mean,
yeah, because they need to stop reacting because is what it is.
Stop reacting.
Yeah,
on
you need
WIP.
To stop reacting.
Do you know where we are?
Yeah, I do know where we are. But okay.
We're going to continue to react.
No, I'm just saying because people hear what they want to hear, and I'm just like, well, stop reacting then, because I'm just trying to tell you what it is.
I know, but when you say there's a chance that Jalen could get benched for Dalton this season, it hits people.
It's a huge deal.
It hits me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you could.
It's strong.
Yeah,
I mean,
you could logic it away all you want.
Yeah, just think about the headline.
Of course.
I mean, you'd get dragged.
He would. And that's why we keep bringing it up, because we want you to lean into it.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, Hugh's been a lot harder on Jalen than you have.
Without question. I mean, it's the bigger critic this week of Jalen Hurts is right there.
What are you talking about?
Well, you were firing Nick, or you were putting Nick on the hot seat, and Hugh made it about Jalen.
Yes.
No, what I'm saying.
And you made it about Dalton.
Mm-hmm. When all of this happened, in the offseason, all this transpired,
yes,
it became exactly about Jalen. Everything became about Jalen. Whether or not we want to believe that or not,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's about. The coach is in lockstep with organization. That's a fact. The question marks are about the quarterback. We made a decision in the offseason who we were going to ride with, the quarterback or the receiver. We made that decision.
Yes, and that's
we're
done.
Riding with the QB.
That's done now.
So now it's on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel like there's a little bit more scrutiny for him now in these last two practices than there have been in the past.
All right, let's hear from him. We'll get back to all your phone calls on Jalen Carter, but let's hear Jalen Hurts. It was an interesting press conference yesterday. Before we play these cuts, overall, I think he handled this well. This is not an easy spot, right? Like, you go to the podium, and last time he did, because he was brought to the podium, a week ago, right? Right before the AJ trade, or 2 weeks ago? And that's when he sipped the water. It was 2 weeks ago. That's when he sipped the water.
A huge moment.
It was. And that's when Hugh really gave up on
the line was dropped because Hurts sipped some water.
But that, it was interesting because that whole press conference 2 weeks ago just became about AJ. And I was a little surprised because that was the first time Jalen spoke all offseason. You would think that they would throw questions at him about his contract, about the AJ, about the ESPN stuff. They didn't. So yesterday, even though this is the second time he's spoken since last season ended, yesterday became about all that other stuff. So let's, now that the AJ trade is done, here's Jalen Hurts on the AJ situation, how it ended, and where he's at.
He did an interview where he talked about your guys' relationship, not as close together, but that he wishes you nothing but the best and his love to you. What is your response to what he said publicly?
I'm not in a place to challenge anyone's perspective on anything. you know, seemingly so it was. And that's where I am. I've always been focused on the collective. I've always put my energy towards that. And as a leader, I've always put a onus on giving maximum effort to achieve the shared mission we have in the team. So,
is there any disappointment about the way his time here ended?
You know, you come into it and you have a sense of pride in, you know, how it began and definitely what we were able to accomplish, you know, and the same thing that I said last time, nothing can take that away. So for the great things that we did, now it's time to focus on achieving great things with this new iteration of the team.
Hear your thoughts on how he responded to the AJ question now that he's gone. Because last time he talked around it, you know, he kind of acknowledged it was happening, but he didn't really reflect that much on it.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for the way that he handled that, because I would have not handled it that way.
I didn't think so.
I would have not. I'm not going to lie. Because he tried to, you know, even though AJ said what he said, he did his absolute best to rise above that and just keep it about, you know, when one of the quotes he likes to say, keep the main thing the main thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He didn't stoop to the level. He didn't immerse himself in all the muck. I respect that from him.
I agree with you. If there was one part of it I thought he was taking a subtle shot, and maybe it's just me that picked up on it. He said he immerses himself in the collective, which would be the opposite of AJ, who immersed himself in himself.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why you got to have respect for a guy that vibrates on a higher level.
I'm
saying, like, seriously, all jokes aside. Yeah, but you know, his level is way higher than mine. I gave him respect for that.
I was talking about me.
No, I'm talking about me. But, yeah, because in a situation like that, it's teed up for you to say whatever you want to say.
Of course.
It's right there for you.
It's like a softball pitch from Jalen to you, and he hit it.
I didn't need that.
You didn't.
I didn't need it. I didn't need that from you. I didn't need that. It's already been a trying day. But, yeah, you're right. And I commend him for that, because he's locked in. To me, when I hear that, he's more locked in and more focused than I've heard him in a long time.
Yeah.
Because I think back to the press conferences when the new offense is coming in and they ask him about the new offense and he's reflective, but he's kind of vague in his reflection. Mm-hmm. This was more, you know what, hey, it's about getting prepared for this season. This is what I heard, getting prepared for this season. And I can't really worry about the past. We had a great time. We made some huge memories together. You know, if that's the way he feels, that's the way he feels. I'm keeping it moving.
I agree with you. I thought he handled that one well. All right, let's hear Jalen responding, and this is the first time he's really asked about it in a forum where he could give his thoughts on the ESPN article, right? It's other than the AJ stuff, it's the biggest thing that happened this Eagles offseason is a huge article, 12 sources or whatever, about Hurts and at times how difficult he could be with the team.
ESPN story that was written specifically about you. Want to give you an opportunity to respond to some of the things that were laid bare in that story. One of them, which is that you were the person behind the last play of the season. You actually asked for that play. Is that true? And what is your response to that?
Yeah, I've never really asked for an opportunity to respond to anything. So just let it live and go do my job.
And what about the last play? Was that something you directed or asked for or?
No.
All right, so let's unpack that a second.
He could. Now he was stumped with that one. He was a little stumped with that one.
Yeah, so let's unpack it. So what do you make of him saying he's never asked for an opportunity to respond? A part of me really respects someone. And I think if you're going to be a quarterback, a coach, you know, a GM, like, you're going to get crapped on, right? Especially if things go bad. And you could choose to react to things, or you could just say, whatever. Like, I'm going to do my job, and you evaluate me on the next season. I respect that he didn't respond to it. Like, people say bad things about me. I'm on to this season. I'm not going to sit here and defend myself against this, and this, because then, Hugh, that becomes like a dog chasing its tail. Once you start responding to every criticism, you have to, then why aren't you responding to this one and that one? So I respect that.
Yeah, you're a better man than me.
Yeah, well, I think
I'd have responded. Responded in kind.
He's always been that way, though.
But yeah, he has. Yeah, but it's different.
This
now.
Is the most. That was the most pointed criticism
sure.
from one
yes.
article.
No, I agree. Yeah. But he's always. I mean, for the most part, I think taking the high road on those kind of things.
Yeah. I respect that. That's hard to do, man. Especially when you talk about somebody who is as heavily scrutinized as Jalen. The stuff that we deal with, Twitter and all of the stuff, that's nothing compared to what he probably has to deal with on a day-to-day basis.
From you?
And from him, for him
well,
to...
Well, he's heard the Dalton stuff this week.
Not paying attention. And for him to still be able to stay focused like that, yeah. I commend him for that.
Well, look,
he'd have ran me hot and I'd have started calling people out their name and Mickey flicking everybody and all the yeah, it'd have been bad.
Wow. We could
it'd have been bad.
We can talk about where his skill level is at this point in this offense, but that's the kind of stuff where he's got the right mentality for here.
Yeah.
That he's always had.
He definitely
that.
Does. He and definitely
I,
does.
I like that about him. Because he could have said that's not true. Like whatever was said, I'm a team guy. He could have said all that. He basically said whatever. Like we're all moving on. But do we have another cut on the four verticals?
Well,
at the
no,
end?
It was just it was that was end. Yeah, that okay. was at the end.
It was the end.
What'd you say? Four verts hurts.
Four verts hurts.
Well,
do you buy that?
I don't know.
That one felt weird. The ending there. The ending like nah.
I don't know.
Now, my question was,
I don't think we'll ever get an answer to that.
Do you think he was responding, like, was he saying, no, I didn't call the player, no, I don't care to talk about
well,
it?
Well, I can isolate it.
Yeah, let's hear that part. Because that, you know,
let's go ahead.
Well, I was wondering if he was just trying to give an extension of, no, I don't want to talk about this, I don't care to respond, or no, I didn't call the four verts to end the game against the Niners. Let's hear that.
And what about the last play? Was that something you directed or asked for or
no
he said no
Hugh, what do you think what do you think the no means? No, I didn't call the player, no, I don't feel like talking about it.
Probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
It feels like both. It feels like, especially when you talk about in the context of him saying he's not worried about what's being said to him, right. He's going to the next season. I'm going to say a little bit of both.
Who called it?
Yeah, he was like, hey, you know, whatever, it's in the past.
Well, given what we just talked about, it would be interesting if he was answering it like to clarify, like I didn't call it.
Yeah.
Because that would be, I mean.
That's on Petullo and Sirianni then.
Well,
they
right,
called it.
Right. But he was just getting done saying that he didn't want to respond to the ESPN article. But that would be a response.
That's would be a clear, like, I didn't do this.
Yeah, I didn't,
that's,
no, that
one's
me.
Not on me. I mean, that's on KP. All right. Last one from Jalen Hurts. And then we'll go back to your phone calls on Hurts and Jalen Carter. 215-592-9494. All right. This one, Hugh, was interesting because really the gist of that article wasn't just about the last play against the Niners. It wasn't about, you know, his personality. It was the idea was he's been resistant to change, right? Mm-hmm. That has been the frustration, it seems.
The crux of all of this.
Yes. And now they're doing a whole new offense, but a whole new change. So that's the backdrop. Here's Hurts responding to the report this offseason that he's been resistant to change in the past.
The idea that you have a heavy hand in the offense or there's things that you're resistant to, is there accuracy to that?
Resistance to what?
Resistance to, as it was characterized, changes in the offense in the past, or evolution in the offense in the past.
I'm always open to growth. I'm always open to improving. I think a lot of it is, you know, what do we put our time on task? Where are we? What are we exhausting? You know, what are we repping? And so, I'm looking forward to seeing how training camp goes so we can just continue to build on the foundation that we've begun to lay now.
He spun it forward.
He did.
He spun it forward.
To this year. Yeah, he didn't want to talk about last year.
Yeah, he didn't. And I respect that because it feels to me like there probably was some resistance to it for whatever reason, right? But now he's more receptive to moving forward and being a better version of himself. He probably, you know what it was? He probably took a hard look at himself and said, hey, maybe it's true, but I'm not about to buy into that. You know, I'm not about to put myself in a situation where I'm answering questions about something that happened last year when I'm ready to move on from last year.
I thought the time on task line was interesting. I mean, was there a little reveal in that maybe in the past he didn't feel like it was worth their time to change things? That, like, the way it was being presented wasn't worth changing? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to unpack what he meant to that. But time on task is an interesting phrase because it almost says to me, like, is this worth it? Is this change we're trying to do actually going to be good? Is it worth it? And perhaps he didn't think it in the past. Now, he still has a responsibility to be open to things. I mean, he's He's the leader of the offense. He has to be open to change if everyone else is going to be open to change. But I thought that was interesting. Overall, Hugh, I'm with you. I thought he handled that well yesterday. That's not an easy spot. Like, hey, you've been crushed here for, you know, with all these reports. Is that you? And he could have even fought back in a very calm tone. Like, hey, I don't know where all that came from. I'm always open to doing what's best for the team. It's all I want to do is win. But he could have pushed back. He chose not to really in any sense. I think that's interesting. He chose zero to push back on the story and just say, let's move forward.
Yeah, because it's probably some self-reflecting he did. And to be fair to him, he probably thought that maybe in some aspects, some small way, maybe he was a little bit bullish in that. And he was like, okay, I was. Now I moved on from that. Now it's time to get ready for this season.
You say always open?
Did he say, he said he was always open to change? So two subtle shots at AJ in there? We can appreciate that. All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Jalen Carter, should the Eagles pay him right now? I'm a no. He was a yes on this. Where do you come down on the Carter thing? And your reaction to Jalen Hurts speaking yesterday for the first time since, you know, about the ESPN article, about the offseason. I thought he handled that press conference well. Anthony is in Jersey on WIP.
Hey, Gilio, what's going on, man?
Anthony,
what's
up,
on,
pal?
Man? How you doing?
Hey. I think it's real funny or real crazy how some people say that Jalen lied to go around the four verts or not try to tell the truth about the four verts when the video clearly showed that him and Sirianni looked at Petullo like, what the hell is you talking about? And we all said that this whole offseason. But then when whoever reported that it was Hurts' idea, y'all all flipped out and Y'all disrespected and poo-poo all on her. We actually seen a video, when we seen a video that how they reacted when Kevin Petullo actually called it. And now Herb said that he did not call it. And when that man asked the question, he looked that man directly in his eyes and his face while the other reporter was asking the question. Jalen said, hell with him, what he asking. I'm going to look this right in his eye and his face and what he said no. And as a grown-ass man, if you look another grown-ass man in their face and their eyes and you tell him I answer, I'm going to believe that's the truth. We are grown men here. We have no reason to lie to another grown man. Why would Jalen lie then go in the back to Sirianni and Howie and them and they, wow, Jalen, you just lied, Jalen? Well, I didn't want to lie. I didn't want to tell him the truth. Like that would have been an awkward conversation back there. You think or no?
I think that would have been awkward. Sure. I mean, it did look like he was very serious when he answered that question. Anthony. Yeah, had a serious look in his eye. Yeah. I also, Anthony, I do wonder, and I don't know the answer to this. I wonder, like, if you're Jalen Hurts, do you read that whole article? Do you actually read all that stuff written about you? Or maybe he just heard from the PR people, like, hey, they were going to ask you about this. This was written. I don't know. Like, maybe it could have been the first time he was even thought about that last play of the game until the press conference. Where, like, he might have had to kind of go back in his head, like, how did that even go? Well, I don't know. Maybe Kevin threw the call out there and I was looking at him. He may have had a kind of recall in his head what happened in January.
Or he probably just didn't want to answer.
Maybe
because he moved forward. Like, I feel like for Jalen, like, if he did call it was last year.
It was January, yeah.
Yeah, and so for him, it's not about last year, it's about this year. Because, and I'm saying that because normally when you hear him talk, He's always talking about moving forward and being progressive. He's not talking about the past or anything like that. You know, when he reflected on the memories that they had together, him and AJ, he didn't go in depth. He just said, we made some history together. I think he's more focused on how he's going to attack this season. And he can't worry about what happened last year. Whatever happened last year was last year. He's worried about this season.
I believe so. Okay, then if that's the case, yeah. But I guess it's like the narrative goes around about, you know, man, my quarterback, that a lot of stuff that he probably didn't say or did say or whatever. The man's telling you straight in his face that he, but whatever. Anywho, on Jalen Carter, I believe that we should pay Jalen Carter because we have no Super Bowl a season ago if it wasn't for Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter made that play in the snow when Matt Stafford could have hit an open receiver. We never know how that game, the rest of that game, play out. But thankfully, we do not have to figure out how the rest of the game played out because Jalen Carter put it into that.
Well, you're right about that, Anthony. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I'll tell you what I think. They don't win the game if he doesn't make that sack. I mean, Higby is open over the middle of the field. Stafford's going to hit him with that pass. I mean, they probably have the ball on the 4 or 5 yard line if he doesn't get in the end zone with a minute to go. I mean, we probably lose that game.
Yeah, we probably lose the game, man. So, and I also believe that our defense is more intimidating when Jalen Carter is on the field versus when he's off the field. So I believe it's Jalen Carter pay is a must.
Well, you know, a lot of people feel that.
Today.
You too, Anthony. We appreciate it. Look, the idea of not paying Carter doesn't mean they move on from Carter. I mean, Jalen Carter's on the team. He's going to be here this year.
Oh, no question.
He's already under contract for 2027 on the fifth-year option. So, like, my perspective, if I want to wait, doesn't mean I want to move off of Jalen Carter. He's hugely important still. I'm good with Jalen Carter as the centerpiece of the defense. I don't need to pay him today. I'd make him earn if he wants record-breaking money here. 215-592-9494. What's your thought on Jalen Carter? Would you make a play out the season or pay him now? Your reaction to Jalen Hurts' press conference yesterday. And coming up, yeah, we can't avoid it anymore. Hugh called it the elephant in the room the other day. We got to talk about what we witnessed last night. One of the wildest NBA Finals games of all time. And we know what it means. It puts the Knicks on the precipice to a championship. That's next Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Brunson gets it, fires up a three. Shot no good. The tip, it's gone! It's gone! It's gone! With 1.2 remaining, Knicks take the lead. OG Anunoby, and it's 107-106. Bedlam here at the Garden. They can't believe it.
Why? Yeah, it's the right song to play us in. Welcome back. Midday Show.
Reality's starting to set in for everybody.
Oh, it's there.
Yeah, get the hell out of here.
This thing's a wrap after that. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Back to all your phone calls on Jalen Carter. Would you pay him now? Your reaction to Jalen Hurts' press conference yesterday. But Hugh, last night, and the result was not what we were hoping for, but we witnessed one of the craziest NBA Finals games I've ever seen. Ooh. I mean, in the history of the sport.
In the history of the game, yeah.
To be down 29 points, to come back, the Knicks are now up 3-1 in the series. So that, to me, was a combination thing. You can't have a comeback without a collapse like that. Like, it takes two to tango in that.
Yeah.
He
was up like 30 points at one point, wasn't
it? I mean, even with 7 minutes, it really started to set in for me about 7-8 minutes to go. Anunoby hits a three from the corner. It went from 14 to 11. And I was like, uh-oh, they're in big trouble, the Spurs here. And then, Hugh, it just was like, it was almost like watching a train wreck in slow motion. Like, you're just watching this thing happen. Like, the Spurs are possession after possession of terrible turnovers. Wembanyama had a complete choke job in that game. I mean, he just sucked the whole time down the stretch.
Guy's a bum.
Oh, my. He's not a bum. But last night, he was terrible. The moment for me where I knew the Knicks were going to win is it was about 2 minutes to go. And Josh Hart had the breakaway for the layup that really could have sent the whole place into a tizzy, right? And he missed the layup. Larry David's collapsing, you know, in the front row of the crowd. He was. And then, so the Spurs go right back down, and Wembanyama gets fouled. He hits those two free throws there. I think it takes the wind out of the Knicks' sails. He missed both free throws.
Bum.
And then from there, it's like, you know what's going to happen.
You know what's funny about this series is that every game has been the same.
Big leads. Big leads by the Spurs.
You know, the Spurs come out. They come out running and gunning, and they take a commanding lead, and the Knicks just chip away at it. You talk about resilient. They're a resilient-ass squad.
The Spurs have led by 14, 14, 12, and 29. They're down 3-1 in this series. Think about that for a second. And I know NBA leads aren't what they used to be because of the prevalence of three-pointers you can get back in games. But to be up 14, 14, 12, 29 in the four games, and to not even be even – it's a joke.
Wasn't like you have that kind of lead. Why are you taking all these threes?
All threes. I know.
It's like you don't know how to slow the game down. I mean, because it's been the same game every game.
The clock is your enemy when you're up that much.
Yeah, and it's like it's almost like you don't know how to transition and just slow it down. And you're taking all these penitentiary chances that you really don't have to take down the stretch.
Well, the last 10 seconds, I mean, the Spurs get the run out and De'Aaron Fox gets the ball. On, you know, going to the basket. They're up 1, 10 seconds to go. What is he doing going to the basket there?
It's one of the stupidest plays I've ever seen.
To me, unless you were the...
Somebody said he was point shaving.
He's a dummy is what he is. All those years of playing for the losing Kings, you saw it. He's got loser stink on him. Like, all he had to do was hold the basketball. Hold the ball.
Yeah. It was like the J.R. Smith thing.
It was.
So, like, what are you thinking?
To me, the only acceptable thing is if you're the only person on your side of the court, you still should slow it down and waste time. But, like, all right, if you want to go put the shot in because you're the only person there, it's technically as good as the two free throws you'd make, right? You'd go up three. But even that, you should waste time. Like, he got blocked and didn't get even to the free throw line. It was the... I mean, he basically just punted the ball out of bounds is what he did at that point. And then he gave it back in the Ananobi thing. Hugh, the whole thing stinks. And you said something about the resilience. Hugh, you know what makes this worse than anything? Is as I'm watching the Knicks come back in all these games, they are the team we wish the Sixers were.
Yeah. Scrappy. Bunch of, like, journeyman cats that they play tough, man. And they unwavering, unflappable. There's been times where, you, especially in that game last night, they're not supposed to come back. They're
not
supposed to come back
down,
from
no.
29 down. You sit on that lead and you play smart basketball and you don't let them back in the game. You let them back in. You've let them in. You let them back in the game every game that we've been in. They've been in. You let them back in.
And they've taken advantage. I mean, like, if that happened here, like, this would be the most popular Philadelphia team of all time.
Enough.
It would it not?
I don't care.
You know I'm right. It just hurts.
Get out of my
face. People would love this team.
Whatever. I know that the Knicks are on a great run.
Yes.
That's great. I don't need the ship. Like, I know this should be us. I know I'd prefer this to be us. I hate that it's them. I don't want to hear that we would love them here.
Well,
I hate them.
I'm sorry.
I hate them.
I wish they were here. I wish they were here.
I hate them so bad.
You could basically take Josh Hart and put him on the 0-1 Sixers. You wouldn't even know the difference.
Insert,
he is an 0-1 Sixer.
Insert any group that's not a bunch of losers. And yes, I'd prefer that to be my basketball team over the Knicks.
But this one hurts more because the Sixers had a chance to build any kind of team they wanted the last 10 years. And they stumbled into what we have.
I know. The Sixers suck.
And they built the Knicks. If you had told me 8 years ago, like, which team had the brighter future, it would have been laughable to say the Knicks. They were in cap hell. They had no assets. They didn't have any players that were drafted. They were any good. How'd they get here and we're still where we are? It makes no sense. Complete mismanagement.
Yeah, done. Well, they, you know.
Done. You okay?
No. Also, I bet on the Spurs last night.
I did, too.
So I lost that.
I did, too. That's coaching, though. That's just coaching and being a young squad.
Yeah, I think their youth is really showing.
Yeah, their youth is starting to show, man. And it's like, it's frustrating. They'll be back, but they got a lot of growing to do. And you know what? It's not over. It feels like it is. You know, it just feels like
it's
dead man walking.
It's over.
You know, after the game that they had yesterday, you would think that would be the case. But no, it's not. It's not over. You still got.
All right, so technically they could win game five. But are they going to come back and win the series after this? After that?
I don't see it.
I mean, they left their heart on the floor.
Hey, listen, I don't see it.
Out.
But here's the beautiful thing about basketball. You win tomorrow night. Well, Saturday?
Friday night. Tomorrow night.
It's not Saturday?
Oh, you might be right. Is it Saturday?
I think it's Saturday.
Okay, Saturday.
Whatever it is. You win the next game, Joe.
I think it's Saturday. I think you're right on this.
You win the next game, you got another chance. You got another game to play. You know what I mean? That's the reality.
You're trying to talk us into
this? No, but it's not the NFL. You know, you lose the Super Bowl. That's it.
It felt like it did feel like Patriots.
It did feel like that. Yeah. But you gotta shake it off. And I don't understand how you don't make those adjustments. I don't play basketball, but when you're up like that, try to slow the game down. Eat up some clock. Because that's been your biggest enemy. The clock has been your biggest enemy. And the fact that the Knicks, they don't get flustered. Mm-mm. They don't panic.
Well, they're an older team. Yeah.
They didn't panic. And even I know that you got to box out. You got to box out at the end. OG Anunoby making that play at the end. You can't let him come to the basket. You got to make sure everybody got their back to the basket and just box everybody out. I know that.
When you watch the replay of that, it's like it's slow motion.
Yeah, like
he's just flying in from the three-point line. You're like, oh, my gosh, he's about to get the basketball here. It's an all-time game. It's a crappy ending. And the reality is the Knicks are going to win the title.
It's when the Spurs are up 29, I'm like, I don't know how the Knicks win another game in the series.
Because you like the
because it was over.
When
it
they're
felt
at
like
their
it was
best,
over.
They've looked so much better, but then they give it away.
And then with the comeback, I'm like, well, it's over.
It's over.
Oh.
And the parallels to the Patriots and the Falcons. It's like, remember when Matt Ryan kept dropping back to throw and he got sacked?
Yeah.
I mean, that was them bombing up threes. And I just, the Wembanyama thing, I mean, we all crowned him, and he's obviously a tremendous player, and he's going to be great for a long time. He's 22 years old. That's a choke job. It reminded me a little bit of young LeBron when he got to the finals, and he just didn't play well then. And you're like, well, he's not ready. And you cannot, the two free throws is egregious. I mean, that's the moment there. Hart misses the layup, and you're like, all right, Spurs got to go down and score here. And he gets fouled and misses both. All right, you can react with us here because the whole thing is just it's a joke. 215-592-9494. Kyle looks like he's going to be sick in there as the Knicks are about to win a championship. He was trying to talk us back into the Spurs. They're done.
It does feel like they're done.
They're done. I'm jealous. And I just know this team would be loved here. And that's the worst part of it. It's not just random team. Yeah, I know. And you look green in your face as I say it. Let's go to Nick in Southampton. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Nick? What are you thinking?
Well, I wasn't going to originally bring this up. I want to talk about the Jalen Carter signing, but, you know, since you guys are on the topic of the basketball, you guys should have listened to me when I called way back when. Kyle was all happy about his little Boston win. And, you know, I'm always right. Get off the Sixers. They're done. But in the meantime, I do want to talk about the Jalen Carter situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say pay him, and I want to tell you why. As a Philly fan, I despise seeing good talent walk away. I don't have to like them, right? And I'm going to relate this to the A.J. Brown situation, right? I don't like A.J. Brown, and Philadelphia fans are not going to like hearing this, but let's let the cat out of the bag here. Like, nobody wanted to see him walk away, all right? This dude put up 1,000-yard seasons every season he was here. Helped us win the Super Bowl. Even when times were bad during the Super Bowl season, he still helped us win. All right. He was obviously a huge part of it. I hate seeing good talent leave this team. Despise it. It's nothing irks me more. But you know what I do like? Winning Super Bowls.
Of course.
And we completely ignored the A.J. Brown situation when the Super Bowl year was happening. Why? Because we were having so much fun watching this team dominate. It was incredible to watch. And we kind of let it slip off to the side, right? It didn't really take effect until this past season when it was happening. And even still, A.J. Brown still put up 1,000 yards when he was here last year, still. Basically cakewalking every game, not even trying going for balls, still had 1,000 yards, right? So say what you want about the guy. He's a phenomenal player. And seeing him walk sucked. It really did. I don't like him, but this is an arranged marriage situation. He's here to get us a Super Bowl. I don't care. I don't have to like him. What I do like is holding the Lombardi. Right. So when we go to the Jalen Carter situation, you pay the guy. And I agree with Hugh because Hugh, you said it. I mean, the dude is flat out talented. I mean, watch his highlight reel. He's insane. He stops dudes running full speed with one arm. I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah, he had an off year last year, but he was hurt. And even when he came back, he still was decent. So I want to get him at a cheaper price. I agree with you also that I don't want to have to pay him after he does have a breakout season this season, because he will. He's a phenomenal player. You can see it, and he's so young. And even with him, we were dealing with the problems off the field the past couple of seasons here and there. So, like, ignore that. I like championships. I don't have to like the guy. I don't necessarily love Jalen Carter either, but he helps win a Super Bowl, and he did.
Well, he did. And, Nick, I understand your point, and I don't want to lose him either. But I don't think we're going to lose him if we don't pay him now. I mean, to me, it's not as zero sum as that. Like, to me, we can buy time to get more.
You want him to be happy, though.
Well,
you want him to be happy.
I mean, we have to pay him to get him to play his best this year.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
That's a problem.
That doesn't make me want to pay.
That's
him.
A problem.
Well,
if he's going to check out or not be motivated this year, screw him.
Well, wasn't Jordan Davis the opposite? They made him wait for a contract, and he
went out
great.
It and earned
well,
it.
I think because Jordan Davis' situation was different, because a lot of people were down on Jordan Davis, and Jordan Davis wanted to prove everybody wrong.
Or did he want to get paid?
A little bit. Yeah, okay. They're both.
Whatever the motivation is, he took it and made the best of it.
But when you talk about the biggest thing. The thing with Jalen Carter, and this is what I remember, and I never forget Rusty Manziel telling me this. Rusty was a
good call, Nick. We appreciate you.
He was a college scout back in, not a scout, but he follows college football.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how the biggest knock, he would always say, the biggest knock on Jalen Carter is he can be lazy at times. But boy, when he's motivated to play, he's a game wrecker. I remember him telling me stories about how Kirby Smart used to get on him in practice because he wasn't practicing hard. And then when he got on him, there was nobody at practice that could block him. So that's what you hope. You hope you can tap into that and get that every Sunday.
So you've used this phrase before. I think you brought up former GM in the NBA said something like this to you about players. Like the why, right?
You gotta find out their why.
Are we sure money is going to make Jalen Carter motivated? Or will the pursuit of money make Jalen Carter? I don't know the answer. I'm just saying, like, I understand your point, keep him happy, head on the right way, all that. But, like, if we just dump $120 million into his bank account, he's going to play better because of that? I don't know. I mean, some guys go the opposite.
Yeah, you're right. Right? Like, you're right. But, again, when you drafted him, and we talked about we got a steal. We knew that there were certain things that came along with him.
Yes.
And just like I said, when like Rusty Manziel telling me that about him, everybody else knows that about him. And that's probably outside of the other stuff that happened. That's probably another reason why he dropped. That's probably a reason why the Cleveland Browns didn't want it, because they don't know how to motivate
him. I think there were stories from the draft. Seattle and the Lions just didn't have him on their board.
Yeah, because he's not motivated. So now, Howie, you drafted him, you figure out how to motivate him. You motivate him in one year two to get to the Super Bowl and be a game wrecker. Just figure out, keep that going.
You know, the interesting part about this, if you had told me on draft night that we'd be having this conversation 3 years from now, I would, if you say, Joe, why are we having this conversation? I would say, maybe the off-the-field stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's actually less of that. Now, we know what we know, but he hasn't, from what we understand, done anything off the field egregious, right? It's been some
no.
Right? My bigger thing has been he's been inconsistent on the field. Flashes, yes. But I would have guessed 3 years ago he'd be great on the field and maybe he'd get in some trouble. He really hasn't gotten any sort of trouble that's cost him significant games, right? He hasn't been suspended. He's got the one game where he got knocked out with the spitting, which is dumb. But that really hasn't been the issue for the most part. The issue has been his play's gone up and down. And now, coming off a year with shoulder, and heal. I would wait to pay him. Where do you guys come down? 215-592-9494. And you can react to the Knicks thing last night as they come back from 29 down. One of the great comebacks in NBA history. You know, Kyle gets ill every time I say it, but if this team
it's
was
disgusting.
Here,
I mean,
well, it's the truth.
I don't care.
I know.
Sometimes the truth sucks,
well,
and it makes me violently ill, and I don't want to hear it.
Know it. But I have to say it. I have to say what I have to say.
La la.
This
la,
would
la,
be the most. People would There's love somebody, this team here.
Hold the line.
Well, it's also
hold the line.
Partially it hits because, like, literally one of their starters was drafted by the Sixers. Like, that's a fact. Like, they drafted Bridges and traded him on draft night for what's his name? Zaire Smith? That was his name. He had a sesame allergy, Hugh, and he played
sesame. Played, you mean like sesame seeds, like on the McDonald's bun or something like that?
Yes.
No, like Sesame Street.
No, yeah, but, yeah. Maybe both. I don't know. But he definitely had a sesame allergy. And he played like 20 games in the league. Chris in Middletown is up. Hey, Chris.
Happy axe grinding day, man.
It's always axe grinding day on WIP.
Who grinding axe today?
Well, us with you about the Andy Dalton.
Oh, yeah. Whatever.
I'm going to get to that, Hugh. I'm going to get to you, Hugh Douglas. Listen, guys, here's the reality of this whole thing with Jalen Carter. Howie is telling you how confident he is in the player by the timing of their contracts. Mm-hmm. We know Howie is a guy that likes to get ahead of the market and extend guys early because ultimately it saves you money. So he's clearly telling you he does not have confidence in Jalen Carter. Otherwise, he would sign him. And guys, he's also just told you what he thinks about Jalen Carter by trading for Jonathan Greenland from Minnesota. And you know what he did? Hugh, he went and paid Greenland Carter's future money.
Grenard,
he gave him the $100 million. Greenland.
Yeah, we mess up names.
Greenland.
Finland.
He's Greenland.
Iceland.
So he does something, okay?
Yeah.
Guys, the reality is this. This is Jalen's, plural, intentional, Jalen's prove-it year. It's both Jalen Carter and Jalen Hurts' prove-it year. Only one of them is going to get the money at the end of this year. So one's getting a contract, the other one's going to be shown the door. And of course, I am not at all the slightest bit surprised that Hugh Douglas is pulling for Jalen Carter, because We all know Hugh believes that defense is not a luxury.
Oh, so it's Hugh flipped now. Now he's paying the defensive guy.
He knows what's important in the NFL. It's the defense. And he's also telling the delusional Jalenites that Jalen Hurts, he told them that he's hot garbage, and he's also letting them know Hugh Douglas is a red riflesman.
Yes, he is.
That's
a red riflesman.
Look at your shirt
you
today. No coincidence.
One last thing, guys. Now it's time to grind the axe, okay? I have to square away some jokers today before I leave. Heavy breather Aaron, find some original thoughts and stop using the cow mounter gyms, nicknames and materials. Nothing is more pathetic than copying a cowboy fan. And you know what? As for you people who are mostly fluffy feeling people, keyboard warriors that live in your mom's basement, if Fat Aaron is your spokesman, y'all need to think about that because that's pretty sad right there. And if that's representation of who you are, I can't possibly see it getting any worse other than bringing the cow tipper in with you on that. And you know what? Finally, my last message to you people, chat people, there's probably a handful of decent people that reside in there. Y'all need to take control of things and get Shrek from San Diego out and put him back in his place and get the rest of those losers out. Have a good day, man.
All right, we got you, Chris. Appreciate it. Came at everyone there.
He came with that fire and brimstone.
Yeah. Well, it's a trio. They just attack each other, right? It's Chris, it's Cowboy Jim, it's Aaron, and it's just back. And then somehow the you people get involved in it somehow. Because I guess Aaron is in there. Aaron's a you people.
Yeah, there's
a you person.
Yeah, it's like a beef triangle between Chris, you people, and Aaron.
Sounds gross.
Yeah, a beef triangle actually sounds disgusting.
Sounds terrible.
I guess that's another name for the other name.
That's
for,
all. Yeah, it sounds all horrendous. Sweaty.
And, I do appreciate, and I'm noticing this from more and more of our regulars that people are feeling the red rifle week from Hugh Douglas. You tried to kind of talk through this. No one is hearing anything but the truth.
Hugh starts to glow when he talks about Andy Dalton.
I like how I'm
like glowing. A pregnant woman.
Okay. How am I? Tell me how am I glowing?
You're blushing. At this point.
Oh, I'm seriously blushing. Okay, we are ridiculous. We are ridiculous. All right, dude. I'm blushing.
I see you get a little rosy.
Okay.
All right,
I have no retort for that.
Well, because we know you're like Jalen yesterday.
That is not what it is. I just see the writing on the wall. See the Eagles hedging their bets
with Andy Dalton.
Yes.
No, I think the Eagles are hedging their bets on Jalen. Yes. To me, you've gone a bridge too far with Andy Dalton.
A bridge too far.
Andy Dalton is 38 years old.
And Andy
He's
Dalton,
cooked.
How many? When you get the reps breakdown, I wish. Elliot was here with his bangs. I wish he put the bangs.
Well, the bangs
back
are gone. The bangs are gone. As if they're fake.
Put the bangs back on, man. Do you? And tell me what was the rep breakdown?
Well, I'm sure Jalen got more reps than Andy Dalton.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're pretty close. You don't give the backup that many reps. How many reps? And then take the reps he got this.
Let's not do the math again.
Yeah, we ain't gonna do it.
A tough one yesterday.
And then take the reps that he got last. How many reps did Tanner McKee get last year compared to Jalen in the same OTAs?
What about Cole Payton?
Cole Payton.
Okay.
Ain't that red dot Cole Payton?
Red star Cole Payton. That's disrespectful. Red star player. Okay. Last thing, and we got more on the Carter thing coming up, and an interesting move the Eagles made yesterday and really what it means. But Chris did bring up an interesting hypothetical that I'm not sure that Hugh Douglas is ready to answer, but I'm going to throw it at him anyway. You can only pay one Jalen. Which one are you paying?
Hurts. Quarterback. Harder to find a quarterback. Hard to find a defensive lineman like that, but it's harder to find a quarterback.
Well, hold on. Okay, but does this factor in? If you can only pay one, would you make Carter wait because you're not sure? They're obviously not paying Jalen right now. That would become clear. Are they making Carter wait because they're deciding which Jalen to pay after the season? There's not unlimited funds around here.
Yeah, you have to be creative. Now, this is where we all talk about Howie season and everything. He's always creative with those cap numbers.
Yeah.
You might have a conundrum, dilemma, or whatever you want to call it. Mm. It's going to be a dilemma. You want the quarterback. The quarterback's going to eat up a lot of the cap. And there is a world where you might be waiting to see how this is going to play out for the quarterback in order to play everybody else.
Now, as much as I have said I would want to wait on Jalen Carter, if Jalen Carter stays healthy, his next 5 years will be better than Jalen Hurts.
Oh, I agree.
5 years. It's not, I don't think it's a question.
I also think the importance of quarterback is diminishing lately.
I don't believe that. I believe what has happened, we've gotten a workaround as far as quarterback play is concerned.
I think the most important thing lately is the strength
roster,
of the team.
The full roster.
The last two Super Bowl winners were loaded rosters
again,
with, you know, solid to...
Again, yep. Workaround. That's a workaround.
But is that where the league is going?
Well, that might be where the league is going because you don't want to get hamstringed by a quarterback.
Right.
But
too much money.
The Tom Brady's and those guys.
But we don't have that.
But
we don't have that. Okay, what if Arch Manning is the next Tom Brady-like quarterback?
Okay.
You know what I mean? So you're trying right now. The league has found a workaround for not having your cap constraints with the quarterback getting most of the cap money.
Is it a workaround or is it the league seeing a new trend? Like, and you know who's always at the forefront of trends in the NFL?
The Eagles.
It's the Eagles. Like I'm telling you, I'm sensing it.
I don't believe that.
Teams are going to start going away from really high-paid quarterbacks unless they're a top-three guy.
We'll keep the conversation going. 215-592-9494. We stumbled into this, but the Hurts thing may be reflective with the Carter thing. They may not be totally separate. Like, there might just be, we're going to pay one guy huge money after the season, and they're not sure which one right now. 215-592-9494. All right, Eagles made a move yesterday. It makes me do wonder about the future of an all-time Eagle here. We'll hit that. Jalen Carter, should the Eagles pay him? Your reaction to Hurts and the Knicks, who came back last night on the precipice of winning the NBA championship. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.